Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad all of you are here as well. I'm glad Lee is here today. He has been battling this last week with just a lot of sickness. Sophia as well. I'm really, really glad that we're all here together. I'm glad also Lee is here today as well because I have some questions for you. I need some advice. How long have you been married, Lee? 42 years. That is a long time. I need some marriage advice because my anniversary is going to be coming up in May, and I'm thinking of making my wife a card. And so I'm coming to you for advice because I know you're a guy. You know, we're guys. We can talk about these things, and you can tell me what kind of card I need for my wife. I'm thinking about. I don't want to go with traditional. That's the old stuff, right? I want to go with something, maybe. Mike, do you like cars? What's your favorite car? Corvette. I'm thinking about doing a Corvette on the front of the card. Beautiful Corvette. Just because I think all the guys would go for that. That would be awesome to have that Corvette. You're shaking your head. What's going on?
What is your wife like?
Whoa! Is that the question I need to be asking?
Yes,
definitely. You know, wait, wouldn't it be silly if I'm trying to give something to my wife, and I'm trying to serve my wife, and I start thinking about, you know, if I give her this, I wonder what Michael thinks about my card. If I give her a Corvette card, he will think, wow, David is just cool. And that's really what I'm going for, right? And if I have, you know, open it up. Fireman on the next page, and I'll have something clever like, you know, something clever like, well, I can't think of something clever enough. but something about fire and that warmth in my heart, and that'll be clever. And Amos, you like firemen, right? That's kind of cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And something clever, something kind of corny, and Amy's gonna like it, right? And she's gonna feel so loved. How's she gonna feel? No. She's going to give it back and say, go make a different one. In fact, don't make one. just forget it. But if I'm giving her a card like that, or doing something like that, where I'm trying to give her something, but in reality, I'm doing what's really kind of what Mike thinks is kind of cool, and maybe some of the ladies think is kind of cool, and really sweet, but it really, not thinking about her, who am I really serving? Not her at all. Really serving myself. Do we ever do that with God? Where we have this idea that we are going to serve God. It's important to serve God. And we're here to serve Him. Here is the first day of the week, and here we are to serve. But do we ever serve Him? But really, we are serving ourselves. That's really the idea that we have in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is telling us, beware of this idea of serving yourselves by putting on a show in front of others. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus's famous discourses that talks about the kingdom that he is going to establish, that he established in after his crucifixion, as his resurrection. And in Matthew chapter 5, which we read, it talks about the type of righteousness that he wants. It's not the type of righteousness that you think you need. It's my righteousness. It's God's righteousness. That's what we've seen in Matthew chapter 5. Now in Matthew chapter 6, he comes along and he says, what are you trying to get out of this? What do you expect to receive from all of this? You're trying to get into the kingdom, but why? You're trying to serve God, but why? And what he's going to do is he's going to put these two extremes, really. He's going to talk about the righteousness of the Pharisees, the righteousness of the scribes, and the righteousness that really we need to have and what we're looking for. We'll just read some of this. He sets up the principle in the first verse. Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 1, he says, beware of doing your righteousness or practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. What does he say in the first line? Beware. Be careful. Be careful of doing or practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. We are not going to be serving God so that we can put on a good face for whom? For everyone that's around us. So that everybody can think, wow, David's he's pretty cool. Oh, David, he's pretty holy. Wow, that's amazing what he can do. That's not the goal, is it? The goal is to serve the Lord because he is the Lord, because he is worthy of our praise. Now, just to clarify, when we're talking about this idea, it's not just talking about the idea of men seeing that we are doing some type of righteousness. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and through 16, he talked about this idea that he wants us to practice our righteousness before men. It says in chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So what does he say there? He says, let your light shine. Show your righteousness to the whole world. And in this way, they will glorify your God who is in heaven. What's the difference then between this passage, what we have then in Matthew chapter 6, where he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. What? To be noticed by them. Isn't the difference of motive? Why is it that we're practicing our righteousness? What is it that we're doing here? Beware that you are not doing this and practicing this righteousness in front of men to be noticed by them, to receive their praise. Because if that is the result, then what is the result? Really practicing righteousness to be seen by men, it's not service to God. It's kind of like handing my wife this card that everybody else thinks is cool. I didn't impress everybody. But it's really just for myself. It's just self-worship, self-service. And Jesus says that is not the type of service that God is going to receive. Beware of doing your righteousness before men, that otherwise you will have no reward with your Father in heaven. No reward. That's not going to please God, and it's not going to have any reward in heaven. What Jesus is going to do then is he's going to take this principle throughout the rest of the chapter, and he's going to give us several examples of what this really looks like. So for example, in this principle, he's going to apply it to giving of alms. Giving alms, that's a good thing, isn't it? Giving alms, giving money to the poor. He says in verse 2, therefore, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet in the synagogue or in the streets so that they may be glorified. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. He says, don't sound the trumpet as the hypocrites do. And just to define, just to make sure that we're on the same page, the word hypocrite, this is the first time that the word hypocrite is used in the New Testament. And when Jesus uses this word, he's talking about someone who is a pretender, someone who is an actor. They are acting as if they are righteous. They're pretending to be holy. They're putting on a show for the world. Look at who I am. But inwardly, they are not holy at all. And in fact, everything is just a show that they're putting on. A hypocrite is not someone who just makes mistakes occasionally. Well, we all make mistakes, right? But a hypocrite is someone who is putting on this religious facade. On the outside, he is a holy one of God, but on the inside, he's just serving himself. And in reality, if you're serving yourself, who are you serving? Serving the devil. So much of what Jesus is going to say in this context of Matthew chapter 6 has to do with these false claims of the scribes and the Pharisees, of their being righteous. In fact, he talks about this earlier in chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 20, he talked about this idea that your righteousness, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, what type of righteousness do you need to have? And in verse 20, he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It has to be a different type of righteousness. And he says then in Matthew chapter 23, later on in Matthew chapter 23, once he has had time and time again where he is coming into contact with the Pharisees and they will not listen. There is not repentance. And so in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus kind of lets them have it. He goes throughout this entire chapter just saying the same thing over and over again. Verse 13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Verse 15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the sanctuary, it is nothing.'" We read this last week, or a few weeks ago, that talks about how they're trying to get around God's laws. In verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Verse 25, the same. Verse 27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And I love the description here, "For you are like whitewashed tombs." What does that mean, whitewashed tombs? It's a tomb that is corrupt inside. It's rotten inside. Oh, but we make it pretty. We paint it on the outside. We put white all over it. We make sure it looks respectable. But we all know that on the inside, it is corrupt. That's what these men are like. They are hypocrites because they are putting on a show before everyone. In verse 28, "In this way, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So when he talks about these hypocrites, he's talking about these individuals who are just putting on a show. But he's not just talking about them. He's also warning us, don't be like them. Beware, even to the average person, could we say. To people who want to be part of his kingdom, he says, "Beware that you do not practice your righteousness before men to call their attention." Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the hypocrites. And I think what we're going to see is it's so easy to fall into that trap. There in Matthew chapter 6 again, in Matthew chapter 6, when he talks about this idea in verse 2, he says, "Don't be like the hypocrites." And what are the hypocrites doing? He says, "The hypocrites are announcing their charitable acts as they enter into the synagogues and on the streets." And that's not just announcing it. What are they doing? They're blowing the trumpets. Attention, attention, I'm giving my $100 bill in this here basket. And, do you have a change for 200 by chance? Oh, no, I guess I'll have to give the whole thing. Did everybody not? Is that ridiculous? That's ridiculous. You know, I have the feeling that this is probably hyperbole. I just can't imagine someone literally doing this. But, you know, after you go through a lot of the book of Matthew, you kind of, well, maybe it's not hyperbole. These are some of those ridiculous attitudes. How can they think that this is religious? But they've been blinded by themselves. Whatever we are to think about what they are literally doing, they're calling attention to themselves. They're making sure that everybody knows that they are the ones that are just holy and righteous, and we love to help the poor. I'm so glad the poor is here, because they give me the opportunity of sharing and lifting myself up. We can see how ridiculous this is among the Pharisees, but have we ever been tempted to make a show of our own charitable acts? You know, in the world, that's kind of how it works, right? In the world, you give a whole bunch of money to a university, and what do you get back? Some type of name on a building. Well, that's my building right there. Or maybe you give a little money, and there's a brick. That's really glorious, isn't it? I get a brick or on a pathway. There's something nice about that. Or maybe there's something that's named after me. There is some type of special recognition, something that's put, that my name is placed there, and everybody's going to give me a pat on the back. It is so easy then also in other contexts to end conversations to just, you know, happen to comment about how much I've given to the church. yeah, we've really sacrificed this year to give something to the church. And we, you know, we have a neighbor that really needs some help. And, you know, we've been there for her and him. And it's been a sacrifice. Easy to let these things out. For what purpose? What am I looking for? I'm just looking for pat on the back. Good job, David. You're wonderful. And so that everybody will think of me greater. But who am I serving? I'm serving myself. I'm not serving the Lord. If that's what I'm looking for, that's all I'm going to get, says Jesus. But nothing from God. Instead, he turns it around. He says that instead of practicing the righteousness before men, when you help the poor, he says, you need to go to the other extreme. He says, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I think we're talking about you. This is hyperbole. Put this one in your pocket when you give something in the plate, or you know, put the other one in the pocket then when you're doing something else. This is hyperbole, but what's the point? Well, instead of going to the extreme of playing the trumpet, you go to the other extreme of being secret with your hands, make sure your hands aren't even communicating. It's hyperbole, but you get the point. Don't advertise your generosity so that you will be praised. Know that God sees what you have done in secret. He sees your good works. He knows what you have done. And he will reward you in heaven. Seek not the praise of man, but seek the praise for God. But just because often there are some questions about these passages, let me just add that we also need to be, while we do need to be conscientious about not seeking the recognition of men, Jesus is not meaning to go to such an extreme that we feel paralyzed in our generosity, to where that I can't participate in a good work because my name somehow will be attached to it, and I don't want anybody to find out. Does that make sense? I feel like I have to say that just to make sure that we understand that what he's saying is not just, it's not about so much the hiding things or hiding my name. It's about not looking for recognition, not looking for praise. Well, let me give you just an example. In Acts chapter 4, you know this example, many of you do. In Acts chapter 4, we have an individual named Barnabas, son of encouragement. This is in the section of Acts chapter 4, when many of the Christians are giving up and sacrificing a lot so that some of these Christians who have need, well, they'll have those needs supplied. Well, Barnabas is also one who participated in this. Now, Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a field, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here's the question. How did they know that Barnabas did this? I don't know what all the circumstances are. I'll just have to admit that. I don't know what all the circumstances are. But it's obvious that, well, Barnabas is, it's known that he is giving what he sold and he's putting it at the apostles' feet. It's not, here's my point. It's not about, the sin is not receiving recognition. The sin is not people knowing what I have done. The sin is looking for that recognition and looking for praise of men. And in fact, if you've read further in the book of Acts, the next chapter is really the same context. Yeah. Acts chapter 5 comes along and tells us another story of a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who did this very thing, who come along and they lie about the amounts that they have sold their property for. Now they're advertising to everybody, yes, we sold this property for so and so, such and such amount. And oh, probably what they're doing is they're looking for recognition. Barnabas got a new name. We want to kind of have sons of encouragement, son and daughter. Oh, wow, we want that name too. Whatever they're looking for the praise of men, and God struck them dead in that moment because of their sin. So I say all of this to say that we never need to feel paralyzed about our generosity. Just be generous. Go and do it and stop thinking about yourself. Be generous. And really, in the terms of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, be generous. Let your light shine, and even in your generosity. But don't be looking for praise for yourself, but rather be looking for praise for God. Financial generosity, however, is not the only place where Jesus talks about this principle. He also talks about this in the way that people would pray. So in verse 5, for example, in verse 5, he says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Again, I don't know exactly what the circumstances are, but I can imagine. Here are the Pharisees, and they go and stake out a corner where he thinks that everybody is going to be walking, and he sits there and says, "Excuse me, I'm about to pray. Would you like to listen to me pray?" And he begins to pray and lift up this beautiful prayer so that everyone will hear him. We read about another prayer by a Pharisee. You remember this prayer? Where he goes and prays to himself. If someone is praying in this way, looking for the attention of others, who are they really praying to? Who are they really serving? They're not praying to God. They're praying to other people. They're praying to themselves. And they've received all the reward they are going to get. It is a shame how easily that something so simple and pure, like a conversation with God, can become something so twisted, grotesque, and selfish. It is a shame. It is sad to see that Satan is working even in our prayers sometimes. I cannot judge people's hearts, but even today, there are many times where I question our motives in public prayers. I can understand that when we pray, we ought to think more deeply about our words. We ought to use words that show respect for God. But it is incredible how easy it is when I start leading a prayer to start thinking about what people are thinking, about what I am thinking, and my mind gets off on these other tangents, and while I'm talking to God, I start thinking, I wonder if he thinks that was a nice word. Oh, I bet if I say it this way, I'm exaggerating, and I hope that this is an exaggeration, but have you ever heard when someone prays? And again, I cannot judge people's hearts. But you hear someone pray, and as soon as he gets up there, there is this different voice that they get. And I can't do it. My voice is like it's a tenor. But they get this deep voice, and all of a sudden, there's this different cadence, and it's very impressive, and who are you talking to? Who are you trying to impress? Because we're not impressing God. Again, I'm not going to judge someone's heart. Sometimes people use these and thous, for example, because that's just the way they grew up using those, and they feel like it's more respectful of your God. Go for it. Do that. But if we're doing that to impress our friends, to score points with the brethren, we're doing it all for the wrong reasons. Prayer is simply a conversation with our Father. And it needs to be about Him, not about other people, or not gaining their attention. Instead, and so in these verses, Jesus again says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into the inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus says with that spirit then, Jesus says, go rather than seeking a crowded area. You need to go to your inner room. Some versions say, go to your closet. Go to your room. Close the door and have a private conversation with the Father. It's really those type of conversations that are a test of our faith. Do I pray when I'm with my brethren? That's good. But do I pray when I'm by myself and no one sees me and it's just me and God? Prayer is an opportunity for me to communicate with heaven. It's not an opportunity to score points with the people around me. But again, just to make sure that we clear up some frequent misunderstandings, Jesus is definitely not indicating that the inner room is the only place that we can pray. Obviously, from the New Testament, Christians prayed in public frequently. And their prayers were, in fact, were written down for future generations so that they could pray in these same ways. They could benefit from these prayers. Practically, in a public setting like here, you know what? Somebody has to lead the prayer. Somebody is going to have to, if we're going to be able to pray together, somebody has to do it. And so it's not just in inner rooms that we can voice our concerns to Yahweh. But just as in generosity and giving alms, the sin is not in people seeing you pray or hearing you pray. I hope you will pray, and that you will pray in public places. In terms of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, again, let your light shine before men, even in your prayer life. I hope that you will pray and that people will know that Christians are a praying people. But here's the catch. Don't be going looking for praise. Pray because you want to converse. You want to talk with your Father. The sin is not being recognized as someone who does pray or who prays. The sin is looking for recognition for your prayers. Don't look for praise for yourself. Let God be glorified. Yeah. I'm going to skip several verses here that talk about prayer, that talk about the Lord's Prayer. We're going to come back to these verses in another lesson that I think it's just, there's such important verses that I just want to focus on these and talk about, well, what do we learn from this prayer, the Lord's Prayer? But I want to continue on with this idea in verse 16, where Jesus also talks about this principle of showing our righteousness before men in order to get, in order to be noticed by them. But he also talks about this principle in the within the context of fasting. Jesus has something to say with fasting in verse 16. Now, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearances so that they will be noticed by men. And when they are fasting, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Again, maybe on another occasion, we'll talk more about fasting and talk about what the New Testament says about fasting generally. It is an interesting subject and something I need to grow in and think about. But he says here, if you do fast, and Jesus gives special instructions, do not put on a gloomy face. And you can imagine then, the hypocrites, if they are a hypocrite because they are putting on a mask, hypocrite because they're putting on an act, well, now they're literally putting on the gloomy face. Oh, David, what's wrong with you? You look ill. Oh, it is that I have been fasting these 5 days. Don't worry about me. I will survive. you can imagine how ridiculous that is. What's wrong with this picture? They're not doing it for the Lord, but rather they are doing it for themselves. They're trying to put on a show and trying to show themselves as holy. But rather, he says, if you do fast, he says, when you fast, wash your face. Wash your face. Comb your hair. Doesn't say literally comb your hair, but he says, wash your face. Anoint your head. It's more like combing our hair and maybe anointing your head as well. So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The focus is if it is not so much if someone finds out that you're fasting and you have to tell them, there's nothing wrong with that. But the focus is that you're not having that motive in mind. It's not like you're going around trying to make sure that everybody knows that you're fasting. Oh, by the way, I'm doing this religious thing. By the way, I'm trying to be holy today. That is my attitude. I'm looking for the recognition of men. But doing it the way that Jesus prescribes, you will not be noticed by men. But the Father who is in secret will see what is done in secret, and he will reward you in heaven. I just want to end with just really quick applications. And some of these are just duh. But just wanted to end with just this is what we're talking about. And some applications for us. First of all, just talking about public worship, public service. It is such all of us who are involved in leading prayers or leading sermons or leading whatever have to be very, very careful that Satan does not enter into the service that we render. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about serving. Anyone who is in front is not, it's not because they are here to be the leader. He is here to be the servant, to present things of God, and to lead us to him who has given us everything. We need to remember that. Remind ourselves that when I'm leading a song, it's not about how well I can wave my hand around. It's not about how I can pitch those songs and I can pick out songs that are going to be really, I bet he didn't think I would pick out that song. It's so easy for those silly thoughts to come into our head. Preachers are full of themselves so often, I'll admit. And it is so hard to not try to be in competition with other preachers. Or be trying to appeal them to, what do you think about this, sir? I spent a long time on it. I want a pat on the back. It's not about that. I'm trying to appeal to your heart. I'm trying to appeal to you to seek out our God. But it's not just about public leadership. But anything can really fit into this category. Even coming to worship. And the way that we come to worship. It's amazing how Satan can use even those simple things. Is it good to come and be it here in worship? Oh, absolutely. Come and good to come and encourage other Christians. Be here, please. It's amazing how Satan can use even those things to be something that we boast about. You know, I've been here every Sunday and I haven't missed a time. And yeah, he's a really good Christian. Or maybe even just the way that we dress, it becomes a competition between all of the ladies or all of the men and how we dress and, you know, who wears a tie and who doesn't wear a tie and who wears a suit and who doesn't wear a suit. I hope it's not that way here. Let our service be about service. Serving the Lord. Serving each other. And let us forget ourselves in the process. And let me challenge you then, just with this theme, to work for the Father in secret. Let you just think about this. How hard it is, how hard is it for you to do something and not tell anybody about it. That's a little bit challenging for me. Just kind of hold on to that and not tell anybody about it. I feel like I need to tell somebody. I feel like I need to... Oh, yeah, I talked to so-and-so today. Okay. I let it out. You know, that's not a wrong thing to do, to talk about. To talk, you know, especially, you know, with my wife, say this, I did so such and such, and we kind of tag team, and we work together on encouraging other people. That's not a bad thing to do with other Christians either. But we always have to think about, well, what is my motive there? Let me challenge you just to say, you know what, I'm going to do something anonymous this week. I don't know if it's going to send something in the mail to someone, send someone a card, just anonymous, help someone. You're not looking for anything back. You're looking for the praise for God. I challenge you. Look for something that you can do. Don't tell me next week what you did. But apart from that, shine your light before men. It may be that you don't need that type of encouragement to do something anonymous. Maybe that's just who you are and you're doing this all the time. But it may be that you're on the other side and you're kind of thoughtful about doing those good works before men, so that you don't. I don't want to show myself to be proud. I don't want to just be assuming that, you know, I can do things like that. What's the problem with that attitude? I'm thinking so much about myself that I'm not doing the work for the Lord. Does that make sense? In reality, if I have a problem with either one of these, if I'm looking for praise of men, what's my problem? I'm looking to myself. I'm looking for that praise. I'm too big in my mind. On the other hand, if I'm not working for the Lord because I'm paralyzed because of what people might think, or maybe people will think that I'm trying to be holy, or just go and shine your light. Stop being so big in your mind. It's not about you. So what? Maybe you've never done this before, and people say, whoa, I've never seen you do that before. So what? Just go and work and give the glory to God. Let me also just say, in both of these, and all of this, it requires an attitude of humility that we struggle with, or at least I do. Especially in our society, we have to fight against pride. I was thinking specifically about social media this week. What is social media all about? Okay, I know that there are some uses of social media that are really encouraging. And I've seen some people use social media in such a way that, wow, it builds people up. But so often, social media is about what? Look at me. Oh, look at me. Look what I did. Look at this new outfit that I have. Oh, look where I am. And everything's about what? Me. Come celebrate me. In some ways, there's nothing wrong with just sharing joyful things about yourself, right? And so I don't want to go to an extreme to say that it's all bad. I'm the old guy that says it's all evil. But I do want us to think about what we post and what we read. That this universe is not about me. It's about other people. So next time you post something that will be encouraging, that will be something of service toward others, something that lifts people up instead of showing off my personality. How unique I am, how beautiful I am. I think you can tell that I wouldn't do that. But I think you get my point. We need to be very, very careful not to become what our society calls normal. We are of a different kingdom, and we've been called to serve the King of the universe. Let us show a righteousness that is so different from the righteousness of this world. And let us serve, not ourselves, but serve the King and serve others. Thank you so much for your time.